All right. Woo! How many can say I could go home right now and know I have been in the presence of the Lord? Amen, amen. But you can't because you got to endure the next few minutes of me preaching. I just erased RFK out of my notes. What an awesome day to be with our family. I love our family. I love our church. I love that it's like a family. I love that we can take time just to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. Can somebody turn the snowblower off over there? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Somebody. There you go. And just come and hang out with Jesus. You know, we hang out. We do a lot of hanging out in South Louisiana. We like hanging out. We like to go to parties, and we like food. I'll never forget moving down here from Shreveport. And it was like culture shock. And Angela and I found out real quick, if you want to hang out, you want to get people together in South Louisiana, you have to eat a lot of food, and you do it outside. Even when it's hot, you're still outside cooking. And so we learned, like, if you're going to party in South Louisiana, that's how the party rolls. It don't matter if it's a funeral or a wedding or a birthday or Saturday. It's whatever you can make up. Don't matter if your team wins or loses. It doesn't matter. You celebrate. And I do love that about South Louisiana. I love just the love to hang out. But you know what? You know what's great is when we can come here and not get in a hurry with church and hang out with Jesus. He really wants to hang out with us. And we go and wait in lines for all kinds of things and then want to hurry church up. You know? I've been to football games at LSU and you park 2 miles away and you walk and then you stand in line and then you wait. It takes you 2 hours. Well, it don't take me 2 hours because I leave in the third quarter. Because they're not going to win or lose whether I'm there or not. So I'm not waiting in the traffic going home. But if you wait to the end of the game, you're 2 hours good. And we don't think anything bad. It's 8 hours of our day, and which is nothing wrong with that. I enjoy going. But then we rush God. Okay, God, it's almost 12 o'clock. You know Pastor's going to preach. And if you're going to heal me, hurry up. What if he just said, if you'll just wait a minute, get quiet, I got something really good for you. And he's not done yet, and I'm not in a hurry in case you can't tell, and I do have something to preach. But he's more important. You know why he's so important in this place right now? Because you're important to him. And I'm not trying to create these analogies just to be cynical, because I'm not thinking these things are bad. But if someone told you, look, I think that you may have a disease in your body, you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the emergency room or something like that, you go sit in the emergency room and wait for your call for hours. You might fuss about it a little bit, but you'd stay there until they called your name. But when he said, be still and know that I'm God, we don't have time to wait for that. It's not that he's making us wait. He don't desire to make us wait. He's getting our spirit in alignment so he can do what he wants to do. He's really aligning us so that he can flow through us. He's not out of sync. We are. And stillness kind of freaks us out a little bit. We have a drive-through mentality with God. This ain't Chick-fil-A. J. Chick-fil-A is good, but it's better than that. Can I get better? Amen? So good. I'm comfortable waiting on the Lord. I'm comfortable waiting till He's through. He's crazy in love with you. As a matter of fact, we've geared church up till it's so entertaining that when He wants to move in, and Michelle said it, we get caught up in our system, three songs, transition, offering, video announcements, sermon, go home. When He wants to break into our entertainment, we don't have enough room for Him there. We do, but some don't. And we're never going to get everything He wants from us until we learn how to sit at His feet. So let's turn off the outside world. And let's just hear what the Spirit's saying. Is that good? Is that good? Come on, give me a smile or something. Come on, do y'all feel the peace of God in this place? Why don't you look at that person next to you and say, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're amazing. There's nobody else like you. Hear me. There's nobody else like you. He didn't make anybody else like you. He didn't want you to be a cookie cutter. He didn't want you to be anybody else. He made you just special, you. And we spend so much of our time trying to fit into a mold that's a mold that the world produces for us, and we're so struggling with trying to figure that out, or the church produces for us, not His church, the organized church. And sometimes it's like driving a square peg in a round hole, and we can't ever understand what God's purpose for our life because we're under so much pressure to perform. And He just wants you to be you. He wants you to be anybody else. And to understand that you're enough. You know why the devil's so interested in our past? Because he's scared to death of our future. And that's why he's so completely interested in our past, because he's always dragging it up, because he's scared to death of our future. Because if we ever understand who God created us to be and what we're here for, we're doing damage on the kingdom of hell. And we're lifting up the glory of God in ways that are unbelievable. You get around people who know who they are in God, and you can just feel the presence of God coming off of them. You can almost smell it. It's like an aroma. God didn't call us to strive and to work hard to try to accomplish this. He called us to rest. And in our resting doesn't mean that we sit on our laurels. It means we have peace in our doing. And this is so good to just stop for a moment and just wait on Him. Just say, come on, more God. More God. Saturate me, Lord. Overtake me. I'm so thankful for your goodness. I'm so thankful for your anointing. I'm so thankful for your presence. I'm so thankful that you love me enough to stop everything in life to sit with me. As a matter of fact, I spent many of my years walking with God trying to get to him and always feeling like I was coming short, and understanding that he was already, when I found out he was already there, it was just a relief out of my life. Whew. Because most of my Christian life, I felt like a camel being pushed through the eye of a needle backwards. Always feeling like it was impossible to achieve the goal of knowing, really knowing him. And then I realized that I was just straining out the gnat, swallowing the camel, when all I had to do was just, that's a biblical term, by the way. I was getting caught up. Let me explain it. I was caught up in the little things of life. All the little nitpicky things of perfection that I couldn't achieve, I was caught up in those things, and I was missing the greater part. And when I learned how to rest and not strive and not try to work my faith to achieve him, I love some of our analogies. We say, we found God. No, you didn't. God found you. You couldn't find him if you wanted to. Because you would, if you in your own effort was trying to find God, you would do what we've all done, look for him in all the wrong places. And when you're constantly trying to find God, and you're constantly trying to find, that's your search, it's your journey to find God, you start looking in places he's not. But when you let him find you and just say, oh, he loves me, he cares about me, I'm his, I belong to him, I was created for this, it changes everything. Now, I know Paul said, apprehend that which is apprehended you, but let's put it in order. He said, apprehend that that's already got you. It's already got you. Just go after what's already got you. I don't get up every morning and say, hey, baby, let's get married again today. Every day, let's remarry. Let's go through the ceremonial vow. No, but I'm apprehended that which I'm going after which I've already got. Did that make sense? Man, I feel God so good in this place right now. His love is just like an ocean. It's like a tidal wave. I want to speak to failure for just a minute. Oftentimes, we live in our failure. The devil highlights our failure. And I'll probably say that the majority of the people that I talk to, you can tell how they process, how they know God real quickly, because they talk about God through their brokenness. Not their brokenness for him. There's a difference in a brokenness for him and a broken, just being a broken person. And so they talk about God and their brokenness as though as they're not good enough for God. Listen, if we were had to be get good to get God, none of us would get him. So it's not your failure that God's concerned about. He's not bringing up our past and he's not bringing up our failures. He's looking through our failures to our future. And God sees you. God sees you how he created you to be. And when we understand that we're sons and daughters of God and that we're created for this purpose, it changes the whole way we go about it. Angela and I was talking a few months ago when she was speaking, I think, for a ladies' night, and she said, this is what God's saying to me, talking about sonship and daughtership. And she goes, I feel like I'm just repeating myself. It's been repeated. I said, just that's why God keeps saying it, because we're not getting it. We're still living like orphans when God said, you're not an orphan. You're a daughter, you're a son. And when you start living like a son and a daughter, it changes the whole way you approach him. It's so powerful to walk in authority. He's put a ring on your finger. He's put a robe on you, and he said, you are a son. You have my seal. You have my approval. You can sign my name to your situation. My wife has authority in my name. She married me, we're one, so she has authority in my name. When she goes down to the bank and she puts the last name Poole on there, that's not her. That's her maiden name is Campbell, but she became a pool when she became one with me. And she puts it, they never question the authority that she has. And when you know that you're a son or a daughter of the Lord, they don't question that authority. You can write the check because it's already been paid for. So you start writing the check for things in your life, and the enemy tells you all kinds of things that's a lie. And you back off of the goodness of God and everything that he has for you because you're afraid to sign his name on it. It's yours. Come on, somebody. And so we live beneath the blessing of God because we don't understand who we are. It's not arrogance to walk in this and say, I know who I am. And it's false humility not to use it. Oh, I'm just humble. I'm not sure if God... Oh, please. What it is the enemy's lied to you about who you are. You're living like an orphan. God's saying, now, walk in my authority. Yeah. Speak to the mountain, the word says, and it shall... How many believe when you say, I speak to the mountain, it shall be removed? Amen. David said it like this. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help, and my help cometh from the Lord. You know what he was saying? The Lord came with me. I killed a lion and I killed a bear. When I face my giant, I have the authority backing me. I don't need man's approval. I don't need man's ways. I don't need all of what they're wanting to put on me. All I need to do is walk in the authority that God's given me. And when he reached down into the water, let me just use my imagination for a moment. When he reached down into the water to get the stones out of the water, he saw a reflection. And he could have said, oh, that's David disqualified. Or he could have said, that's the son. Amen. How you see yourself determines how many giants you'll kill in your life. Even right now in this room, there are people that are going through things and you're completely distracted from the presence of God because you don't see yourself as an overcomer. Matter of fact, when you start talking about sonship and fathers and daughtership, you get a little nervous because when you say that, the authority that's given you to do many things also gives you a responsibility. For to whom much is given, much is required. So the authority that he gives you almost feels like, now, wait a minute, if I'm going to have that kind of authority, then I have that kind of responsibility. But God never calls you anything he doesn't give you the grace for. Right. So he's not going to put more on you than you can bear. And while you're trying to work this out on your own, you're loading your wagon with something you can't haul. And that's why he stopped here today, because I was preaching on giving today, on tithing, and on offering, and on giving of ourselves and our time and our talent and our treasure. But God said today something more important. Somebody's in this house today that you're trying to carry a load that you was not equipped to carry, because you're putting things on your life that doesn't belong to you. And then you get in the prayer room and you cry out to God, God, I thought you said you wasn't going to give me more than I can bear. And God said, I haven't. But you have. And as soon as you give it to me, I'll take it. I really feel this really deep thing for men today. If the men of this house could understand sonship, I'm going to say something pretty bold here today. If the men in this house could understand sonship, the daughters would follow. Because we're the priest over the home. We carry this. Now, I'm not saying that a daughter can't find God and know that they're a daughter without the man knowing that he's a son. I'm simply saying that it would be much easier when the men of the house would know that they're sons. And we would take the load off of our families. We would take the pressure off of our families. We would take down giants that we haven't taken down that are attacking our families. Because the moment we know that we're sons, we're going to look into the water and know who we are. And we're picking up a stone. And we know that the stone in and of itself cannot kill the giant. But with sonship, the giant has to fall. Whew. I got the flejons running up and down my spine. Am I making y'all nervous? Don't be nervous. Don't mind the silence. Just let God talk to your heart. Between every word that I'm saying, let God speak to you. Because he's talking directly to some people today. This is what I love about him. So he just walked in here today and said, it's okay. Listen, I want to help some men just today. There's so much pressure put on us to perform for our families. Get up every morning, we go to work, we got to supply food, we got to supply houses, we got to supply all this, we got all this pressure of performing. We go on our jobs, they grade us by performance. Everybody looking into our life is performance. Even our recreation, how you say that word, is performance driven. How good we hit the ball, how many deer we kill, how many fish we catch. We don't even rest in that. Everything has a measure of performance. And so we come to God with the same pair of glasses. And we see God out of performance. And the devil's constantly telling us, men of God, we're not good enough. But I'm telling you today, the devil's a big, fat, ugly, stinking liar. And you're good enough, men of God. And you're called for this day. And you have purpose for this moment. And you're giant slayers. Here's what I love about David. David learned to worship before there was ever all of these things in his life. He started with worship, but you know how he ended? He ended with worship. And David killed his first giant, but it wasn't his last giant. He started practicing with the lion and the bear. And then he came to the giant. It wasn't his last giant, because once David knew he was a giant killer, he not only freed his family, but he freed his nation. And once we realize that we're giant killers, we not only will set us free, set our family free, but we'll set our nation free. And it was simply this: alignment with heart and purpose. I'll talk to you young men today. Don't wait till you get under the pressures of life to know how to do this. Do it now. Amen. Learn how to worship now. Learn how to worship before you ask a woman to marry you. You're going to need to know how. And I'm not saying that to be funny. Learn how to worship before you have kids. You're going to need to know how. Amen. Learn how to worship before you get a job. You're going to need to know how. Learn how to worship, because worship will take you through what nothing else will. Amen. Knowing who you are will take you through things that nothing else will. I'm sorry, women, you're having to hear this today, but God's reaching for some men today that's going to not just change their lives, but it's going to change the world around them. They're going to be better husbands, better businessmen, better whatever they're called to do. They're going to be better at it because they're going to walk in their authority. You know what? We talked about authority sometimes, like, well, I'm a man, I have authority. And you don't have authority if you don't have a worship. You just have a big mouth. If you don't have a heart of worship, you really don't have authority in prayer. You just have vain words going up before the Lord. You could be a theologian and not have a heart of worship. Worship is an attitude. And it says, God, I'm your son. I love you. It's so good to know that I have this authority. It's a lifestyle. And it creates a vacuum behind you. You just walk. Hey, you're not afraid of the storm. The storm's afraid of you. Who did I say it to this morning? The Lord calls us to walk on water. The invitation is scary, but the blessing is sweet. And when God calls you to walk on the storm, and he said, it's me, the invitation is scary, but the blessing is sweet. But when you know who you are, it's no big deal. So we walk in his purpose. I just really feel like today, if some men would turn their hearts and their attention toward the Lord, that God would begin to change, shift some things in your marriages and in your workplaces, and some places that you're striving, some places that you're trying to work out, some things that you've said, some things that you've done that the enemy keeps reminding you of. It's all going to come together, and you're going to see the goodness of God. And God's going to help you to walk in an authority that you've never had before. And giants are going to begin to fall in your life. That's the word for today. Amen. So good, God. Reach over and grab somebody by the hand right now. Just pray for him. Come on, just pray for him right now. You're so good, God. I break off every lie of the enemy today. Come on, come into agreement with me today. I break off these lies over these awesome men of God in this house today, that were created for purpose, that were created for greatness. Strong men of God who shake the earth. Strong men of God who take out the giants. Strong men of God who heal a nation. Strong men of God who changes the very atmosphere that they walk in. Whether they walk into the plant, whether they walk into their business, whether they walk into executive places, or they walk, Lord, as career men, of whatever angle they go, walking into their home, whatever place they go, God, they are created to take dominion. Release authority over their lives today. And I say to all the lies of the enemy, be gone in the name of Jesus. Insecurities, be gone in the name of Jesus. I got to take one more step here. The Lord's speaking to me. If it's okay, come the keys. Listen, I believe in women, and I believe in the authority of women. I believe women can walk in authority. I believe women can preach, prophesy. I believe they could do any of that. But here's what I also know. I also know that when men walk in authority, women are released to a greater anointing, to a greater level. And here's what the enemy's tried to do in our present country. The enemy has tried to confuse us about authority because he's tried to, we hear this rhetoric that the enemy's put in place that's not of God, that the reason men are in authority, it's a controlling spirit, which is not of God. A man can be a Jezebel as good as a woman. But when women rise above men in authority, they diminish the kingdom of God because it was God's plan. Y'all didn't know y'all was going to get a marriage seminar this morning, did you? It doesn't mean that women are second class. But the feminist movement was to create chaos in the order of God and reduces the authority for everyone involved. It's a lie. It's a lie. And the most powerful women I know on the planet are submitted to the authority of their husbands. The Joyce Meyers are submitted to their husbands. That's why their ministry works. What's the other lady's name I'm trying to think of right now? No. No. Beth Moore. Beth Moore has one of the best teaching on spiritual authority I've ever heard, because she understands that if for you to rise to the authority is not for you to come out from underneath authority, but for the authority to come in alignment. And here's what I'm saying. This is not to you women. This is to you men. When you come into alignment, you release authority in your wife and your children that changes a nation. Amen. And the moment you think your authority is control, you're working in witchcraft. Your authority is covering. It's love. It's lifting them. Your floor, your ceiling should be their floor. You're raising them up, not putting them down. You're lifting to a higher place when you're in authority. Whoo! And God wants to release that, but the church has to get in alignment. This was not my plan for today, I trust me. This is all Holy Spirit, so I hope you're listening. The church has to get in alignment, because when we get in alignment, our marriages are going to be restored. our children are going to be healed. We're going to break off the demonic attack on our families. We're going to sever that. Divorce would be annihilated if we had this in authority. If men were leading the charge in their relationship with God, we would reduce the rates of broken homes, broken children, and broken lives. Honestly, if every man would do it, we would eliminate it completely. So, man of God, let's take the pressure off you today. Because if you heard everything I just said and said to you in your spirit, you have to perform. You missed it. It's quite the contrary. You don't have to perform. You just have to go get in the lap of Jesus and hang out and let him love you. You don't have to perform anything. I don't have to be a good husband. I just have to be in love with Jesus and I'll be a good husband. I don't have to be a good father. I just have to be in love with Jesus and I'll be a good father. I've often said many times that when I'm aggravated and angry with her, before I rebuke her, I need to go look in the mirror and see where my alignment is at. Because oftentimes my alignment, my prayer life, my intimate time with God has not been what it should be. And so I've opened the door for there to be something flowing that should not be there. Well, my kids are rebellious. Well, what's your alignment with God? This is not a rebuke. It's an encouraging word today. Come on, men of God. Quit striving and trying to perform and counting it up and seeing if you qualify for manhood according to the standard of this world. The standards of God is just love God with everything that you've got. He'll work out the details. He'll straighten out the broken places. He'll make those places where you're short. You're going to have shortcomings. We all do. He'll make up the difference when we're so in love with him.
Right.
You can't stop this church when men are in front.
Amen.
Come on. Devils are screaming and running and hiding. Our families are being free. Come on, I feel Jesus in this place right now. My sermon today was on tithes, so let me preach that for 1 minute. Give your tithes in Jesus' name with a joyful heart. They don't belong to you anyway. They belong to God. He'll multiply your efforts. But now let me add that into your walk with God. Don't just give your money. Give your time. Give your talent. Give your treasures. Give your relationships to God. They all belong to him anyway. I want every man in this house to stand. And I mean every man. Young men, old men. Every man. Every man, every man. I'm feeling pretty bold today. You know why so many men are struggling with pornography? It ain't about sex. It's about perversion. It's about twisting things in your mind that are not of God. It's the enemy distracting you and confusing the very purpose of God in your life. Because if you have that perverted in your life, you're going to pervert the understanding of your relationship with God. Twisted thinking. It's an attack on the minds and the hearts of our men. Now, I love this church because about 49% of our church attendance is men. Look at these men standing today. It's beautiful. Let's have a little vote here. Don't you think we should have deer heads hanging on the wall? Come on, get a better amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, man, I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you to put your hands over your heart.
I want you to give your heart away today. God hears my heart. I tear down all these walls, God, all these lies of the enemy. Everywhere the enemy said, I'm not enough and I'm broken, I say, lie. That's a lie. He created me in his image. He created me with purpose on my life. He created me to do great mighty things. He created me for fatherhood. He created me to love. He created me to war, to fight, to stand up for righteousness. He created me, Lord, for this purpose. And the warring that I do is my rest in him. I go to war by saying, I surrender. I go to war by saying, God, here's my heart. It belongs to you. And I give you this heart of worship, God. Lord, I can't change my mind till I change my heart. I can't change my actions until I have a renewed heart. So God, renew my heart today. Restore my joy. Give me courage, God, like never before. There's a holy anointing in this place right now. I believe right now, if you, whatever you need from God, if you will pray it right now, God will hear it. Why don't you just let your voice out and pray it right now? Why don't you pray it in the Spirit? He's coming after me. He's coming after me. He's restoring me. He's given me a clean heart. He's given me a right spirit. He's renewing my mind. I belong in his lap. I belong in his presence. He speaks to me. He loves me. He cares about me. I take my position as a son. Come on, pray that over your life right now. I take my position as a son. I'm a son of God. He's put a ring on my finger and a robe on my back, and he's given me authority in his name. I walk in authority. And nothing shall hinder me. Nothing shall stop me. He's caused me to prosper and to be blessed. He's caused me to rise up and lead, God, and lead my family, Lord. He's anointed me for this. I release my family today. I release my wife. I release my children. I release, if you're not married, I release those around me. I release them to do what you've created them to do, God. As you bring me to a closer place, I release them, God, to do what they're created to do. I will not live, God, in insecurity or fear, God. I will live in the boldness, God, of who you are, God, and who you've made me to be. Thank you, Jesus. I release my generation. I release this nation, oh God, to be who you created me. I pray over this nation. I feel the tide turning in the Spirit this morning. There's a shifting in the Spirit today. There's a shifting. Father, we just pray over fatherless homes today, God. Where there's been a lack, God, we're saying more of you, God, to come in, to raise up, God, to challenge us, Lord Jesus. Heal me, God, of shame. Heal me of guilt. Come on, pray that over you right now. Where there's any areas of shame in my life, I say the devil is a lie. I take the shame off of my life. My sins are gone. They're forgotten. The shame, the past of my life is forgotten. I'm free. I don't live in my past. I don't live in my brokenness. I break off the perversion and the lies of the enemy out of my life. I don't no longer live there. I trust you, God. Shame broken off right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're so good, God. You're so good, God. If it's comfortable for you, and if it's not, it's okay. But if it's comfortable for you, why don't you just put your arm around another man? Grab, just touch him on the shoulder, whatever's comfortable. I know you're manly men. Why don't you just pray over? And then I want all the rest of you to join in with me, and let's just pray over these men of God today. We're coming into agreement with some things that are breaking some strongholds today. Father, you're just doing supernatural things in this house right now. Woo. Fire, fire, fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of God. Fire of God. Come on, man, let your voices out and pray. Fire of God. Fire of God. Fire of God. I'm who you created me to be, God. My life is forever changed by your presence and your love, oh God. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to strive for it. I'm more than enough, God. I'm more than enough, God. I'm more than enough. Generational curses being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Generational curses being broken right now in the name of Jesus. So good, God. So good, God. You're so good, God. I want every single young guy to come up here on this real quick. Come on, come on. Come on, single guys, single guys. Single guy, young guys. Younger generation, 30 and under. Come on. Don't try it, Jimmy, you're too old. 30 and younger. 30 and younger. Well, I'm gonna need y'all's help. Don't sit down. This generation is world changers right here. Spread out. Come on. I want y'all to come and lay your hands on them right now. And I want you to pray over them that every lie the enemy's pumping out in our airways and byways right now, that they will not receive a word of it. Come on, a hedge about God's doing something amazing in this house. Breaking strongholds right now. Breaking strongholds right now. Breaking strongholds. Casting off lies. Revival. A next generation of fire. A generation that knows how to move in the Spirit. A generation that knows who they are. A generation that knows who their identity is and who they are in Christ. That won't be afraid. They'll walk in the authority. They'll walk in the anointing. They'll marry right. They'll do right. They'll walk with peace over their life. They will not strive. They will not let the world's measurements be upon them. We're breaking curses off of their life. We're breaking lies off of their life. We're loosening them right now. We're setting them to be who God created them to be. This is who God made you to be. Prophesy over them right now in the name of Jesus. Prophesy God's goodness over their life. Prophesy God's provision over their life. Prophesy their wives. Prophesy their families right now. Prophesy the children that God wants them to steward. Prophesy over their life. The greatness of God in their lives. Now I want you young men to reach back and pray over these guys standing in front of you. And I want you to say, now lead us, men. Lead us, fathers. Lead us, fathers.
Lead us. Come on, tell them, lead us. You're a father in my life. Lead me. You're a father in my life. Come on, the authority to lead, authority to lead, authority to lead in the spirit. Something great's happening right here. You may not realize what God's doing right now in this place. You say, well, I'm not a biological father, but you're a father. And I want you to just pray right now. God, just lead, 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 lead. Step into our roles. Step into our purpose. We're breaking strongholds off of this church right now in the name of Jesus. That's awesome. Come here, baby. Come here, Holly. Come here, Peyton. Don't get nervous, okay? Because I'm trying to illustrate here. I'm not prophesying a baby. They get nervous when I start talking about babies. Hopefully they'll have a baby soon. But what we don't understand is the generational link. Come here, Jimmy. You're not old enough to be my daddy, but stand in for my dad.
I'm definitely not old enough.
So link. Come here, Tim, be the devil.
That's a little more accurate.
What happens when the enemy gets involved in the generation?
Yeah. That's right.
Separation. It's not about the breakup. It's about the generations followed.
That's it.
This is what I want to show you. What happens when we step in our rightful position? Yeah. We release to the generations.
That's right.
It's not about right now. It's not about this moment the enemy's wanting to trick you with. It's about generations.
Yeah. Amen.
But watch this. When we break the curse, generations are restored. Even to past generations who are already dead in the grave, restoration is restored to the next generation. Authority. Whew. So I don't care. Look, some of you sitting here today and say, listen, I got a messed up situation. It's too late to hear all this preaching. I got a messed up situation. Divorce has already happened. Homes are already broken up. And the enemy wants to tell you it's too late. I'm telling you, you may not join back the marriage, but you can break the curse.
Right.
You can break off the lies. The next generation. We have the authority. So don't let the devil tell you it's too late, because that's a lie. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. So how do we do that? Somebody say, this is good teaching today. How we do that? We forgive.
Right.
We forgive. We go back there and say, I forgive. I forgive dad. I forgive husband. I forgive wife. I forgive generations that are in the grave. I forgive, because no longer we're going to have this brokenness of the chain in the next generation. Look, I'm not against counseling, but you better go to a Christian counselor. Because you get with some of these crazy, psychotic people that call themselves counselors, and they tell you you have a right to be mad and be angry and hold grudges. They're setting you up for failure. The only thing you have a right to do is be like him and forgive.
Amen.
If you want your family restored, it comes through forgiveness. Right. Not through anger, not through bitterness, not through grudges, not through those things. We're breaking strongholds here today. We're loosening captives here today. We're setting the unborn children free. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Jesus' name. Praise God. Come on, moms and girls and gals, let's stand. Lift your hands to the Lord. Heal now, God. Heal now in the name of Jesus. Heal now in the name of Jesus. Heal our broken hearts. Heal our wounded spirits. Heal, 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 heal. Heal our hearts, oh God. Give us a heart of forgiveness, God. Let's just forgive right now. Come on, let's just forgive together. We forgive, God. We set those people free. You know who they are. You can speak their names. You don't have to just, God knows, just speak their name. We forgive, God. We forgive. We give. We set people free today, God. We want to be free. We're setting the next generation free, God. We break every lie. We break every curse. You've come to sit with us today. You're such a good daddy. You're such a good father. You love us with an incredible love. You've been so good to me. Just so good to me, God.